complacent. They were resting on their wealth and their comfort, and things were just kind of not very challenging for them. They were just enjoying life. But Amos said, no, this is not good. I hear the Lord calling you to task. But he started with saying, these other nations have trespassed against you. These other nations are in sin. And so he lists these other nations. He's got Moab, and I don't have all my notes here in front of me, but he's got all the nations around Israel. So all the people are thinking, okay, great. He's going to get all these enemies of ours. But then it gets a little more personal. And he goes for, no, Yehuda. This is when it was divided into the two kingdoms. So he goes into what he's going to do to Yehuda. And he's going to hold them to task. And then he goes to the 10 tribes. He goes to Israel. So the nations that were against him were Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, and Moab. But I think they were kind of lulled into thinking that things were going to be okay. And then he gets, nope, this is not going to happen. Three times, okay, I've let it go. But the fourth time, I'm done. My patience has run out. So he's saying that they have sold the upright for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. One of the commentaries said that in courts, they would just do a bribe for a pair of shoes to, so you give the judge a pair of shoes to get your way. Grinding the heads of the poor into the dust. That doesn't make much sense to us, but at that time, it was like if you didn't pay your fine, they could drag you out in the street and basically beat you. They were drinking wine in God's house, and that was bought with the fines that they imposed. Men, father and son, had intimate relations with the same person. They enticed people who had taken a Nazarite vow to drink wine. They were ordering the prophets not to speak. So it's a big deal that Amos actually got up and spoke out and said, I'm not going to be quiet. So they were dishonoring the poor. They were not respecting people, and we know our God is not a respecter of persons. They were taking advantage. They were being immoral. They were perverting justice. All of these things that go against the laws that God has given us to live by. So again, there's a limit to God's mercy. Amos's name means burden or load. So he was carrying this really heavy message to everybody, and that they are going to face consequences. There is a point that he's like, I'm done. I think most parents can probably relate to that, you know, your kids can go so far, and then it's like, no, you're not going any further. So he reminds God then steps in and reminds everybody, I haven't been flipping these, and I can't tell when they're going, so. Okay, so I'm on this one. Going back. So God is reminding them of all the things that he's done for them. You know, he's saying, I brought you out of Egypt. I've fought your enemies. I've taken care of you. I've fed you. I've done all these things. And you are the only people that I have chosen, that I've chosen to be my very own and that I am intimate with. So love is intended to be a reciprocal thing. And it includes a joint responsibility. God loving us does not give us immunity from consequences for our wrong actions. Instead, we have a greater liability. It's like, I think about this in here. We have the pastors with their children. Everybody sees everything that they do. They're held to a higher level of accountability. And we, as God's kids, as the King's kids, are supposed to represent him in the world, so we have a higher accountability too. You know, actually, this is the good part of it. You know, we're kids of the King of the Universe. We should be rejoicing in that and happy to do the things that he is asking us to do. So back to prophets. Prophets are, I'll switch again. They're the watchers on the wall. They're the ones that God calls and uses to warn people to get back in line. He lets us know when we're kind of going out of line, when we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing. And he lets us know that there are going to be consequences if we don't get back in line. So disaster doesn't overwhelm a people without a cause. And I think we can look at our society right now. We've been quiet. We've been complacent. We've rested on our laurels, and we've been happy to just kind of sit and let things be. But you know, I use this thing of a snare doesn't trap its prey unless a prey walks into the trap. You know, you can have the trap there forever, but until that animal walks into it, it doesn't catch him. So that snare is always out there, and it's fine. If we don't walk into it, it's all good. But sometimes we walk in, and then we've got to pay the consequences. There is grace. At some point, we have to be reminded that we're to be the light. We can't live like the world. We can't be inhumane to our brothers. We can't mistreat the poor. We're called to the righteousness of God because that's how he governs the world. Everything crumbles. Everything gets turned upside down. If we give up on that, if we don't follow those basic laws. I said this would be basic. It's sort of, that's what this says. You're in big doo-doo. If you've been messing up and you need to get back in line. So basically, I guess, you know, we're called to maintain his order. We're called to be his light. We're called to be his righteousness in the world and to bring his order to the world. That's really what our job is. And we can sit back. We can just pray. Or we can just go out and serve. But I think he wants us to do both. He wants us to stay close to his word. He wants us to follow what he's given us as instructions. And he also wants us to be out in the community, out with our fellow brothers. This isn't about being political necessarily. That might be one way. But it's also about how do I treat Carrie? How do I treat Michaela? How do I treat everyone else in the hall and the people at the grocery store? We need to be upholding his word, and we need to be upholding his ways. And when we get out of line, he does hold us to account. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be his, we're still his children, but it does mean that we need to be pulled back into line, and we need to be mindful of that. The one really positive thing that I got out of this, though, is we're at a place where tomorrow night starts the Feast of Dedication. And I know that's in Maccabees, it's not in the Torah, but it still is a very representative thing to me that it's a time for us to look at ourselves, for us to think about, is my altar clean? Am I bringing the light into the world? Am I sharing what I need to be sharing? Am I loving my God the way that I need to be loving him? Or is it time for me to be held into account? But it's a time we can reevaluate that. It's a time we can cleanse our altars, a time that we can choose his ways and choose his life and be a light to the world.